the new sugyan of Yom Aleph. So the Gemara presents to us a Gevurah Machlokes HaTanoim as to what the minimum shear, the size, the measurements of a sukkah has to be. So what would we think the din would be before we would even look at the Gemara? What would we guess the din of what the shear of a sukkah would be? So we have very, very little to go on. We don't know all that much. We know a little bit about the din of the Schach that we derive from the Psukkim of the Osbuch of the Granach of Mikvecha. In terms of the Defanos, so we know how many walls we need, or we think we know how many walls we need. That's actually a sukkah a little later on. But in terms of the size of the sukkah, what possibly, what criteria would we use to decide what the size of the sukkah is? So what can we possibly go on? So the chora, the answer is, you have to look at the basic word that is the defining feature of the entire mitzvah sukkah. What's that basic word? Dira, teshu. The Torah doesn't say much what to do in the sukkah. The Torah says teshu, but sukkah is teshu, shivas yamim. So we know that the Torah Shabbat translates for us that the word teshu means getting toduru. So the imagery of a sukkah has to be a makom dira. So we already know from back all the way back in the base, we're only in Daf Gimel, we're way, way back in the base, so we already were introduced for the first time in the Masechet to the Machlokes HaTanoim. Everybody agrees that you have to have a dira in the sukkah. The question is, what kind of a dira do you have? There are different standards of dira. There's a dira's keva, and there's a dira's arai. So dira's keva is a more permanent nature, dira's arai is something of a more temporary nature. Why is there such a machlekes? Who remembers why? What's the ultimate source? What's the engine that's driving this question? Because there's almost like an internal contradiction within the midst of sukkah. But on the one hand, the Torah says teishu kein toduru. So toduru means you try to mimic your home. So your home is a dearest kevah. You live in a house. You build a house. You live there for many, many years. So on the one hand, sukkah has the dimension of a dearest kevah to it. On the other hand, the Torah does say basukas what teishu what shivas yom and what not. Lo Yoseh, that was Rashi presented in Davbeis. The sukkah was teishu shivas yomim, implying shivas yom lo Yoseh. So the sukkah is supposed to be dafka diras haroi. So this was the source of the major machlokes haTanaim that permeates the entire first two prachim of the Masechta. Just what kind of a dira is the Torah requiring of us? Is it supposed to be more of a diras keva, more of a diras haroi? So our initial reaction, before we even look at the Gemara, is our initial reaction as to what the shia, what the minimum size of the sukkah is going to be. The chur is going to revolve around what your standards of Hilchos Sukkah are. Are you looking to mimic a Diras Keva? Are you looking to mimic a Diras Arai? So that's exactly what the Tanoim tells. We're not at all surprised. We got to hit it right on target. So the Gemara quotes a little bit later on the view of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's opinion was that a Sukkah has to be mamash like a bayis. It's got to be as bayis as possible. And even in terms of the minimum shear of a Sukkah, it has to be identical to the minimum shear of a bayis. What is the minimum shiva bias according to everybody? What's the shiva bias? So those who jumped ahead and have given the days. So the Gemara tells us that l'chol dini haTorah kach nemar halacha. There are a lot of things in halacha that have shiurim to them. The Gemara tells us all the shiurim halacha Moshe Mesinai. How would you ever figure out on your own whether you need 10 tefachim, whether you need 4 tefachim, whether you need 3 tefachim, whether you need a kezayis, a kebeitza? In a million years, you never come up with these arbitrary numbers. These are all part of the tradition. So the Gemara says that there was a shiur in halacha as to what defines a bias, because there are many, many dinim in the Torah that revolve around a bias. One of them being the mitzvah mezuzah, another one being the mitzvah makah. There are 7-8 different dinim, both dinim derais and dinim derabanan, that all revolve around the shem, the chetz of a bias. So how much is called a bias? What's the shiur of a bias? So the Gemara explains the shiur of a bias is dalat amos by dalat amos. That was never debated. That was never a machlokes. Everyone agrees that's the bare minimum shiur of a bias. How do you calculate dalat al dalat? Are there any exceptions to that rule? Okay, that's going to be off the bench from the next sugya. Either we'll get to that before sukkah or after sukkah. That sugya. But everybody agrees the starting point is that the shiur of a bias is dalat amos by dalat amos. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi just did the math. He said, well, if the shiur of a bayis is dalet by dalet, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's shita is that a sukkah has to be a diras keva, so if you put two and two together, so then a sukkah has to be dalet by dalet. If it's less than dalet by dalet, so it's psulim in a Torah. That's exactly what the Gemara says in Gilam Nav, Gilam Beis. That's the simplest shita of law, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's shita. The problem is that nobody else bought into that. All the other Tanoim disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and the Gemara says that even the earlier Tanoim, even the Tanoim who predated Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, disagreed with him, namely the Tamidei Bisham and Tamidei Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says that both the Tamidei Bisham and the Tamidei Beis Hillel, the previous generations, did not subscribe to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. They all held that the Shia of a Sukkah is much, 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 much less than that. why isn't it a bias? Why isn't it the same size as a bias? That's what the Gemara says really in the next sugya, the top of Gimel and Beis. The Gemara says no, that Ad kan lo chamer rabbanan hasam elin in sukkah the diras arayhu. That why do the chachamim, all the tamid b'shan b'silel, hold that a sukkah doesn't have to be damas? Because they all hold in the heart of hearts that a sukkah is a diras arayhu. Well, it got to be biased. The rabbanan made even when it comes to dini bias and mezuzah mak etc. Even the Rabbanon, the Rebbe, even they agree that it has to be Da'at Amos, but Da'at Amos. So at the end of the day, the Gemara is very clear on Gimel Beis that the Nakudas of Machloek is between Rabbi Danossi on the one hand and everybody else on the other hand. So you want to call them Bisham and Bisilel, you want to call them the Rabbanon, but whatever name you want to put on all the other Shitas. So basically, the Gemara boils down to according to Rabbi Danossi, you need a Diras Keva, and therefore Sukkah equals a bias. And according to everybody else, so Sukkah is a diras aroi, and Sukkah therefore does not equal a bias. That's a very simple just presentation of the sugya. So if the sugya would have ended like this, we could have stopped, give Musaf an extra 45 minutes, says Machu, we could have gone on. But the Gemara goes one step further. The Gemara in Daf Gimel and Aleph says, quotes a machlekes atanoim, even within those who disagreed with Rabbi Danossi, a further breakdown, a further machlekes, within the Shita, those who didn't require dalet by dalet, what do they require? So the Gemara quotes one opinion that says that all you need is 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. It's very, very small. 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim. And one Tana says you need 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. Who said what? So the Gemara says this was a machlokes the Tamid B'Shah B'Shah. So all the Tamid B'Shah B'Shah disagreed with Rabbi. But Afa B'Chaim, there was a further machlokes whether it's sufficient with 6 tefachim or you require that extra tefach of 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So this is a very, very difficult machlokes to understand. Because l'chora, you want to tell me you need Da'at Amos that I can buy into, dearest Kevin. You want to tell me you don't need Da'at Amos, it's enough to get a smaller shia that I understand. But once you're telling me that everybody agrees dearest Arroy is sufficient, then you're further telling me there's a breakdown as to what defines dearest Arroy. What in the world does that depend on? What's the issue? This is just arbitrary that I say it's 6, you say it's 7, I say it's 4, you say it's 8, you say it's 9. What do the numbers mean? What do these numbers correspond to? So Da'at Amos, I understand. Kachnem Allah, we see it's a Shia bias, Tiras Kev, a Sukkah, I gotta get the whole picture. But once you're not going down the model of bias and you're accepting a new model of Sukkah, Tiras Aroi, so where do these seemingly arbitrary numbers come from? So the Gemara and Dav Gimel and Aleph fills in the gaps for us, that's our Sukkah. The Gemara basically explains to us that the issue is as follows. These numbers are not arbitrary numbers. These numbers are corresponding to how big a sukkah has to be in order to sit in the sukkah. Because even if you hold that a sukkah is a diras aroi, you have to be able to fit into it. If I can't get my body into the sukkah, how is that going to be a sukkah? How many do I need diras in such a sukkah? So even though it may be that I'm a small person, let's say I'm a little very, very skinny, you know, a short person, he may be able to fit into a little bit of smaller sukkah. But the chora, that's not the way shiurim are given in halacha. The pashat dvarim is that there's some kind of a minimum shia that's given, and the minimum shia, mistama, means that you have to have ability to do a yeshiva in the sukkah, albeit a yeshiva derech haroi, but chach at least a yeshiva. So you have to be able to fit your body into the sukkah, even if you're a smaller person, mistama, the din's not going to be different for you. It's like mashal mad davidayma, the Gemara says that, it says in the Torah about a mikvah, v'rachat es kol b'sar b'mayim, that you have to wash all your body, your entire body has to go into the mikvah at one time. So the Gemara says, how big is that? So the Gemara says that Shiru Chachamim, that the Chachamim made a cheshbon, they figured out that the size of how big a mikvah has to be is the amount of Amma be'Amma b'Rum Gimel Amma. So it has to be amount of one Amma this way, one Amma that way, three Ammas the other way. And Shiru Chachamim Abayim Sa, that the Shiru is 40 Sa. So even though the Torah doesn't say 40 Sa, the Torah says Barachat says Kol B'Sar B'Mahayim, the Gemara says that the Chachamim figured out that the number that corresponds to is 40 saw. Less than 40 saw, an average person can't get in there. So the post can raise the question, what if I'm a small person? What if I'm a baby? So what if we want to type a little baby? A baby will fit into much less than 40 saw. So the Ruba of the Rishonim assume that that's still a Din Torah, that the shear of 40 saw at a mikvah, even though it wasn't Nimsa la Moshe Rabbeinu, the magic number 40, the shear that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu was, Mayim Shekol Guf HaLebehem. That was the way that Allah was formulated at our Sinai. Because the Gemara used the lashon shir ruchachamim. If the number was a shir that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, an exact number, the Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Shemayim with a list that said every mikvah is 40 saw, then the lashon Gemara is very not meduyah. The Gemara says Barachas was called Basar B'mayim. The Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu this pasuk. He dictated to him these words, Barachas is called Basar B'mayim. And he explained to him that the word kol is coming to tell me that it's mayim shekol gufa elabahem. It has to be all at one shot. You can't wash your hand here and then your foot here and eva. That you can't do. It has to be mayim shekol gufa elabahem. That was the din that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Mayim shekol gufa elabahem. Then, Shir HaChabim, then, 2 minutes later, Moshe Rabbeinu came down to our seat and said, how do you build mikvah? What's the number? So the architects are putting the mikvah says, we need numbers. We need a real number. You can't tell me, mayim shekol, every time you build a mikvah, you're going to have a person lay down and feel it. There has to be some kind of a real number that we can put our fingers on. So Shir HaChabim, mayim shekol gufa elabahem is 40 saw. It turns out that every once in a while you have a person who could fit into 38 saw. So most of the Rishonim assume that no, the din was given, it's a shir mesuyam for everybody. You don't have mikvahs. It's mikvah's good for babies, not good for adults. And adults are thinking halacha. So the shir was nikvah based on adam beidani. An average sized person could fit in such and such a mikvah. That's what Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes in his bir on the Gemara. The Gemara says Rishonim Rishon Gemara. The Gemara raises a question. The Gemara says that you have to have a mikvah, you have to have 40 saw for a mikvah, because you need mayim shekol gufa elabahem. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, and you're going to tell me that if the mikvah is 39.999, it's possible? That's the worst Kasha. Mikvah chasa korta is possible. How can it be? 40, it has one drop, it's Kasha, and one drop, that's it's possible. If you tell them one, you're mutter, and you tell them one, you chayv kares, that the woman's in need of their ice, because it's 39.999999. So the Gemara says, how are you talking? How could there be such a din like that? That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, Ella, that's the din, the Gemara says, that is the din. The Gemara uses a phrase, kol midas chacham kachu. That's the way it is. Don't ask any kashas. That's the way it is. So Rabbi Chanan asks the kasha and the Gemara's kasha. Rabbi Chanan says that, would the Gemara have ever asked such a kasha on achilas matzah? Let's say there's a din you have to eat a kezayis and matzah. So would the Gemara have ever asked such a kasha and said, how could it be that if you eat a kezayis, you'd say, and eat a kezayis minus a crumb, you're not yotzei. How could it be? That's an amoyri ask a kasha. That's like a third grade kasha. That's like a person. It's like an amoritz kasha. Like, I mean, that's the din atzara. That's like such a silly kasha. That's like saying, oh come on, if I cook on Shabbos, what's the big deal? If I ride on Shabbos, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? That's the din minatari. That's the din minatari. What kind of silly cash is that? Is the mikvah 39.9? It's okay. It's not okay. 40, it's okay. What kind of silly cash is that? So Bachan explains that the Gemara never in a million years would have asked the cash on the Shia of Kezayis. You know why? Because the Shia of Kezayis was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said a Kezayis, it's the kasha. You can't ask the kasha any more than that. You can ask in any other din minatari. So if the Kol's mind that the Shia was nimtzer as a volume, as a number, then you can't even begin to negotiate that. That's the way it is. That's like asking Kasha and the Rebbeinu Shlom, why do I have to blow a Tkiya Shvarim through a Tkiya Shvarim? It's all mixed up. I don't remember what the Truas are. Why do I have to blow a Tkiya through a Tkiya? Why can't I blow Yankee Doodle? Why can't I blow Yankee Doodle? Because the Rebbeinu Shlom said to blow Tarat, not to blow Yankee Doodle. So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, Tidi Kezayis and Matzah, not Tidi Hefe Kezayis and Matzah. The Bukhanan says the Gemara only raised the Kasha because Chazal understood that there was no Shir of 40 saw that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Lashon Gemara, B'Shir Ruchachamim. So the Gemara was asking, when the Shir was really given to Moshe Rabbeinu, not as a volume, it was given as a description of a physical entity, a physical reality. The physical reality is that it's Mayim Shekol Gufa Elabahem. So that the Gemara asks, you know, between you and me, it's very hard to make that call. What's called Mayim Shekol Gufa Elabahem? You have to take an average sized person. Who's average sized? How do you know exactly? There's a certain degree of chazal here. It's not a pure halacha masina in the fullest sense of the word. If you're a chachamim, it's almost like mashal madabam. It's like a shtick like masa kasla chachamim. Like the Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to be Mishayer based on Mayim Shekol Gufa Elabahem. And then the chacham have to figure out what tachlis that means. What practically, in Olam Hazeh, what does that mean? So that's what the Gemara asked. If you're off by a half an ounce, is it really make a difference? Because between you and me, probably an average-sized person probably could fit into 39.999999 anyway. So that's what the Gemara says now. That even though it's true that you have to have mamash, you know, you have to be Ruach HaKadosh to figure out exactly what's considered to be Mayim Shekol Gufa Elabahem Adam Elabahem. But that's the way the Torah was given. The Torah was given to the Chacham to take this principle in the Torah and to put it into volume, put it into ounces. Once Chazal were kevei, what those ounces were, they were kevei. Shiru Chachamim, it's 40 saw. That's the din deraisa, and then there's nothing to talk about. And you can't be mafakpek. So that was the chiddush of the Gemara. Kol shirech chum kachu. To say kol shirech chum kachu on a kezayis, I don't need a Gemara to tell me that. I know that on my own. But I need a Gemara to tell me that even on those shirim that were only shirech chachamim as an expression of the din derais of the klal, that's the chiddush of the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. It's Rabbi Chanan's oldest tikkun Torah. So it's the same thing here when it comes to sukkah. The din was never given 6 tefachim or 7 tefachim. The din was given heshvu. You have to have a mokum yeshiva. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi, he was like, oh, he was in a different world. He was in a different realm. He said, Peshu means a dearest kevet, based on the dinim of bias. That's another din. But nobody else bought into that. Everybody else thought that sukkah was a dearest aroi, but it's still chachavira, it's still a yeshiva. You have to be able to get in there. So how do you figure out how to get in there? That's what the Gemara says in Daf Gimel. It has to be a place that a person could fit into. So how big an area, how wide and how long do you have to have an area that an average person could fit into? So the answer is, the Gemara says, Shira Chachamim, that it's a 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim, that an average person could fit in 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim. It depends, before Yom Tov, after Yom Tov, depending how big the person is. But an average guy could fit into a 6 by 6 sukkah. So that's what Beis Hillel Shita is. The Beis Hillel Shita makes a lot of sense. It's a din d'oraisa of 6 Tvachim. Not that there was halacha machshinah of 6 Tvachim. The halacha was teishvu. And the stomach, the pshat is, Shira Chachamim, that it's Vav Tvachim. So where did the Shalai come off? Where did the seventh Tefach, where did that enter into the picture? So here comes the Gemara, the Bilam Laf, and says, a startling statement. The Gemara says, Beishamai said, no, you could fit into a 6x6, but you have nowhere to put your food down. Where are you going to put your plate? Where's your table? And a 6x6, you're going to hold the food in your hand? And that's not a normal way of eating. So you need that seventh Tefach for Mokom Shulchanah. Again, most of us don't have a shulchan that's only a tefach by tefach. We have big shulchanim. But in theory, you can make a little tray, a little tiny, you know, airline tray, half an airline tray. So you could fit a piece of challah or something onto your tefach by tefach, a tray and call it a day. That's your mokum shulchan. So Bishamai said you need that magic seventh tefach to include mokum shulchanai. So fundamentally, Beis Hillel and Bishamai are on the same team. They basically are going down the route of B, and they both agree that the size for a person, for Rosh of Rubo, is 6x6, and the point of the demarcation, if they part ways, is do you need that seventh tefach from Makom Shulchan or not? So again, when you look at this sugi, you see Tanoim are coming out with seemingly arbitrary numbers. This Tana is saying 4 Amos, and this Tana is saying 6 Tefach. The Adam Tana is saying 7 Tefach. These not arbitrary numbers. Each one is a lot of lovers. It took Rabbi Yudah Nasi, I don't know how many years it took him to come up with this idea that sukkah is dearest keva. He learned the whole, analyzed all of the sukkah and came to the conclusion that sukkah is dearest keva. Other Tanaim also came to that conclusion. Rabbi, we spoke about that. Rabbi Yudah, other Tanaim came up with that idea. Rabbi Yudah Nasi came up with this idea that sukkah must be a dearest keva. That's the only way to translate teshvu properly. Teshvu came to do means a dearest keva. And therefore you apply the halacha mashtini of Da'at Amos of Abayas. That was Rabbi Yudah Nasi. And nobody else bought into that. They all thought it was Sukkah's Dirasa Roy. They all dashed Shiva's Yamla Yazer. And they all agreed that you need a Makom Yeshiva. They all agreed that 6 Tvachim is a Makom Yeshiva. And the point of Machlaikis was not the 7th. That's the way the Gemara is very clear. And that's how the whole Machlaikis came into being. But the Shaila that we have to analyze is we just described what the Machlaikis B'Shabbisil is, but we didn't really understand why Bishamai is insisting on the seventh tefach for the sukkah. We're not quite sure where this magic tefach of number 7 came in. That's a critical, critical question. What is the basis? What is the source? What is the significance of Bishamai's seventh tefach? Now, some of you may be wondering, we've been spending so much time analyzing this, after all, it's only Bishamai. So why don't we focus more on Beis Hillel or the Bishamai? Well, the answer is twofold. Number one, even if it would only quote unquote be Bishamai, it's still a chelik of Torah. The Gemara says that about the machlekes b'shamay b'silel. So the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim, and the machlekes b'shamay b'silel. Even though the halacha is not like b'shamay, even though normally, putting this aside for a moment, normal 99% of the machlekes b'shamay b'silel, we don't follow b'shamay, and you're not allowed to follow b'shamay. If you follow b'shamay, it's not the yaitzi b'diyev, it's not even a suffix. The Gemara says b'shamay shita. This man hazeh is not even a latest suffix in halacha to such an extent that the Gemara Bracha says that whenever you have any suffix in Hilchos Orlos Chutzlar, there's a halacha mashu Sinai, that the first 3 years of fruit, even in chutzot, you're not allowed to eat. The Gemara says that if you have any shita, any das yochi, anybody under the sun who holds that it's not orla, so it's mutter. Because that's all included in the din of suffic orla's chutzlots being mutter. There's a special halacha Moshe Mesinai that orla's chutzlots is asur. And then there's a corollary to that machlokes that suffic orla's chutzlots is in fact mutter. The Gemara says that any suffic, even a yochid, machum rabim, any shita, any tana, you dig up a tana that holds that something is mutter. That's not orla, even though we don't really follow it. For all his chutzlots, you're allowed to be maker. The Gemara says, however, if it's a machlokes bishan b'silah, you can't do that. Why? So the Gemara is a klal, maseches brachas. We learned about this brachas 8 years ago, 9 years ago. The Gemara says bishan b'machlokes b'silah ain't a mishnah. That bishamai shita, once it was nifsef against bishamai, it doesn't exist anymore. That tana doesn't exist anymore, and therefore it's not even a latest asafik in halacha. So notwithstanding the fact that Shita's Bishami is not even the latest of Sofek, it doesn't mean it's not a chelik of Torah. A lot it's a chelik of Torah, because it's chal on it, elav elav divrei Elokim chayim. What in the world does that mean? If we don't paskin like it, if it's not even a Sofek, if it's, we're basically quote-unquote saying it's not correct, so what does that mean, it's divrei Elokim chayim? That's a machlek, it's a rishon, what those words mean. So Rashi, Mishav, Ksuba, Stavim, Zayin writes, that elav elav divrei Elokim chayim means that even shitas that we don't paskin like, there are certain degrees of truth to that shita. It happens to be in the case that they were talking about was not correct. So the conclusion that this shita came to in this particular shayla is not correct in halacha. However, sometimes the facts are a little different. Sometimes the metzias is different. And sometimes you can extract from shitas that are quote-unquote not correct, and they may be correct. There are certain truths within those shitas that will be true if the facts are a little bit different. That's a Rashi understands Elav Elav Dibra Yuchayim. So the Ritva in the Gemara says Erevin says that no, totally different Shan Elav Elav. Says Elav Elav means that when the Rabbanu Shalom gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu, different possibilities. And he said to him, some things were given to Moshe Rabbeinu as Dvar Pshutim, that these are not up for discussion. We're not negotiating. We're not negotiating that, say for example, we're not negotiating that when the Torah says, that means you have to fast. That's not a machlokes. That was not negotiable. That's not negotiable. Certain things are not negotiable. But there are certain things that the Rebbe Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, if you learn the Svar and you learn the Lumnas like this, you could come to this conclusion, or you could come to that conclusion. You could come to that. There are a lot of things that are still open up for grabs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai different possibilities of different ways of analyzing different Dini HaTorah. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu, now you go down, I told you all the facts, I gave you all the background, you go down to the world, and love Hashemayim, and you guys figure out what to do with all this information. You figure out what the correct psach should be. So we follow the rules, Echram Lahatos, Lom Shemayim, he said all the quality of psach that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. But the shitas that were proposed by different Tanoim, including Beishamai, all part of that picture, all part of that package that was originally given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So anything that the Rebbe Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, or implied to Moshe Rabbeinu, or can be derived from things of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's all Torah. That is the broadest definition of Torah. So even a sheet of that in this world didn't make it to Pesach Halacha, but it's still part of that original Mesiris HaTorah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. So the Rebbe says that's Eilu Eilu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. But the Rebbe Shalom Chachmaso is able to immerse it in Moshe Rabbeinu different nuances, different ways of understanding different Dini HaTorah. So therefore, there's no question that studying the shittas of Bishamai, even if we outright don't paskin like that, and there's no relevance to it la'alocha, and it's not even a suffix alocha, it's not a sphinx fake, it's a groin, it's a pidin, under no circumstance allowed to follow it, it's still an important limud. It's no less of a limud HaTorah than any other part of limud HaTorah. But here, in our sugya, it becomes even more important for us. You know why? Because the Gemara says we pass like Bishami this one. The Gemara says that in this particular sugya, this is one of the very, very few, a handful of exceptions, but this is one of the cases where we do follow Bishami in the halacha. So we're going to take this seventh tefach with the utmost seriousness, because first of all, Kol Torah Kula serious, and we want to learn whatever we can. And number two, this is going to impact the halacha l'maisa. Because how are we ever going to apply this halacha properly if we don't understand where it came from? If you don't understand the background of a din, so then you just, saying a kitzah shir in halacha or something, it's nice to learn kitzah halacha also, but if you don't understand the background, the lumdus, where something came from, it's going to be very, very hard to be able to apply it properly. So we're really in somewhat of a quandary, a bit of a pickle. We don't really know where this magic tefach came from. Beis Hillel didn't seem to be too concerned about it. Rabbi Dan also didn't discuss it because he had a dalat amos with a dalat amos, so he had it in there. But according to Beis Shammai, where did this magic seventh tefach come from? So a lot of the discussion in the Rishonim as to where this magic seventh Tevach came from revolves around the sugya that appears, the whole sugya. Hopefully, I assume everybody saw the Gemara Aleph inside already at this point, so we're not going to read the whole Gemara inside. But it all boils down to really another machlokes between Mishnah and Beis Hillel that has its roots a little bit later on, actually in the second parak, that the Gemara here on Daf Gimel is referencing. And that's what may or may not be a totally separate machlokes, but we have to close Daf Gimel for a moment, close this machlokes, put it on the back burner somewhere, and learn a totally different machlokes Mishnah and Beis Hillel and see how that other machlokes is going to impact and have discussion. There's a famous machlokes Mishnah and Beis Hillel that the Gemara here quotes about what's the din of a guy. He's a big sukkah. He's built a 50 amas wide by 50 amas. Tremendous sukkah. He's got the whole shul. He's got 300 people in the sukkah. Tremendous sukkah. And it's a little crowded in there. And this guy, he's sitting all the way at the edge. He's sitting at the end of the sukkah. He's sitting at the end of the sukkah in a very modern way. He's in the sukkah. Rosh Shemur, his entire body's in the sukkah. But his table happens to be outside the sukkah. So does that bother me? Is that of any concern to me? So Beis Hillel said, where the table is. I care where his body is. I care where his table is. And Beis Shammai came up with a whole newfangled problem. Beis Shammai said, no, we don't like the idea for a person to be sitting in the sukkah with his table outside. You know why? Because if he does that, there's a gezeira shemi yimshach acha shulchanai. That we're afraid that he may lean over, and when he's leaning over to get, he sees the good piece of sushi is all the way at the other end of the table. He's going to lean over, and by the time sushi's not so bad, it's not chayv and sukkah. Okay, when he sees the piece of cake at the other end of the other end of the table, he's going to lean over, and he'll be munching away in the cake, and his body's going to be takabi out of the sukkah. So it's a very risky, very dangerous to let a guy sit in the sukkah, even though technically he's in the sukkah, but his table's 1 foot out the sukkah. So gezeir shem yimshach acha shulchanoi. So therefore, mid the rabbanon, we don't approve of such a sukkah. Beis Hillel obviously warned. What's wrong with that? Beis Hillel thought, I mean, that could be like a man. He's not going to eat, hanging out. Sit in his chair, and he'll bring the food, and eat. There's nothing to worry about. So yeah, a very, very technical machlekes b'sham Beis Hillel. Not a machlekes on love of the rice in any shape or form. Machlekes on a love of the Rabbanan. What's the din? Should we make such a gzera or not make such a gzera? So you see these two sugyas, and the Gemara Daf Gimel begins to relate them to one another. And there seems to be a common denominator here. What's the common denominator here? Between the machlokes of Bisham and Beis Hillel about the size of a sukkah, and the machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about should we make a gezeir or not? There's one magic word that seems to rear its head in both places. What is that? Shulchan. The tish, right? That seems to be the key word over here. And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are fighting it out about do you need a makom shulchan or not? And lo and behold, it's the same people. The same to Beis Shammai, the same to Beis Hillel. It's the same Masechah Sukkah. It's the same table. And they have your machlokes on a din derabanan about should we make a gezeira now? So you can take different approaches to these two machlokes. One approach is to say it's purely what? Coincidental. Purely coincidental. They happen to be two different sugyas. They have mamish nothing to do with each other. They happen to both involve a sukkah, both involve a table, but that's really where the similarity ends. One's a machlokes on the shear of the cheftza for the sukkah. One's a machlokes on making a gezeira derabanan. They're nothing to do with each other. It's a pure coincidence. Or you can begin to scratch your head and say, wait a second, wait, hold on. Table is there, shove over here. You know, it's more than just nothing in this world is coincidental. The Shammai and Beis Hillel, same Tanoim, having the same fight about things related to tables, to make it even more interesting, it's in the same Mishnah. Because later on, in the Chazayin, that's where it is, the both of these machloksim appear in the same Mishnah. At least the way the Gemara finally touches up, they both appear in the same Mishnah. So is that more than just coincidental? Why is this so important, and how does this express itself in the Rishonim? This comes the Gemara in the Gilma Menahalah, that has a startling statement about this whole sugya. So this is really where our sugya begins. The Gemara starts with Amr Shurubba Yitzchak. About 10 lines is up from the top, first wooden line is Bafilu Hachi. Amr Shurubba Yitzchak. Halacha Tzvichas Shtei Machzekas Roshibu Vishulchanim. So Shurubba Yitzchak makes a statement, Psach Halacha, it's in Amayra. So in Amayra is Machriya the following Halacha, that a sukkah must have Reisha Viruba Vishukhana, which is tantamount to saying 7x7. Amalei Rabbi Abba, Kiban Ki Beis Shammai. What? Rabbi Abba said to him, do you mean to say like Beis Shammai? Rabbi Abba was startled. Since when do we pass like Beis Shammai? Rabbi Silla is almost never. So Amalei, so Rabbi Shmuel Shulah Yitzchak responded, Ella Kiman, who do you think I'm talking about? Who do you think I'm quoting? What was the answer? Yeah. So we pass, this is one of the exceptions to the rule. So Ikadiyami, the Gemara quotes a little bit of a different version of the give and take, a nuance of a difference in the give and take. We end up in the same place. Ikadiyami, Amr Abba, the Amalachmani. Rather than Rabbi Abba asking, like, is it Beshamai? Are you for real? Are you kidding? He asked inquisitively, Who are you quoting? So Amalei Beshamai. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak answered, I'm quoting Beshamai, Philo Tazuz Mina. And don't leave what I'm saying. Don't ignore what I'm saying. Don't move away from what I'm saying, because what I'm saying is correct. So whether you think that Rabbi Abba was asking a whole question or a what question, it doesn't make much of a difference in halacha. At the end of the day, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's psak stands. The Gemara never questions it. The Gemara doesn't go anywhere, disagrees. So therefore, there is no shaila whatsoever that we pass in the halacha the magic shiur of 7 by 7. This is Nimdu Vagamu, Chachme Amaron, Chachme Bavel, Rukaveh, that's the din, and finished. Then Tosis quotes from Rav Amram Gaon, the same story, that this is one of the 6 cases where we follow the Shabbat, finish, end of discussion. So come to Rishonim, and have a major machloikis now, major, major fundamental machloikis, which gets to the heart and soul of the entire sugya, is what do we do with this piece of information that we have? I just got finished telling you that we should have followed Beis Hillel. Based on all the Klali of Pesach, we should have followed Beis Hillel, and yet the Amoraim have the final word. Whatever they say trumps whatever the Klali of Pesach are. So there's no question that we pass in 7 by 7. Comes the riff, the startling statement, comes the riff and says, the second of the Mammoth Fence, the Asikna de Betaite Plim. The Gemara of Gimel and Aleph concludes that there was a double machlekes b'sham b'silah. Pligi b'sukkah gedoyla. They were arguing about a big sukkah. What's the case of the big sukkah? That was the machlekes about whether you do what, whether you make the gezeira shem yimshachach shechonu or not. That's called in Chazal's lingo sukkah gedoyla. Oops, pligi b'sukkah ketana. That's our sukkah 7 by 7. So the Rif makes reference to the Gemara in the Gimel and Aleph, our sugya. But the Gemara says there were 2 machlokes in Bisham Bisila. We don't know yet the relationship between the two, but we know there were 2 machlokes. Bichasuri Machzev Achiktani, and then he can even read it into the Mishnah itself later on. That in fact, was a double machlok. It's good. But now skip down to the third line of the Rif, the last line of the Rif, second line on the third line, second word on the third line. The halacha kibeshamai bitravayu, zok the Rif. We paskin like Bishamai in both cases. How do I know that? The chataymen in it. Because it's the same reason. The kamek de rosh shemuv shulchan zayin tvach b'shiva tvachim. What did the Rif just do? The Rif made the equation, which is a highly controversial equation. The Rif said, we know we have 2 machloikes. We have machloik is about whether it's 7 or 6. And we have another machloik is about do we make the gezeirah or ain gezeirah. Comes the Rif and says, we don't know how to paskin, should we make the gezeirah or not? And the truth is, we should probably paskin no gezeirah like Beis Hillel. But, says the Rif, we do know that you need 7 by 7. That's a given, because that Rav Shmuel Yitzchak, the Amoraim, already with Machmir that way. Zok the Rif, just as we paskin like Beis Shammai in this issue, so too we paskin like Beis Shammai in this issue as well. And this is no longer a question mark. Now the halacha becomes, yes, we do make the gzeira, because ultimately these 2 sugyas are one and the same. I want to understand what the Rif just did. The Rif just overturned Beis Hillel. Do you know how much koyach you need to overturn Beis Hillel in halacha? Just a flippantly, yeah, Bisham, Beis Hillel. The Baskol shrine chayvakam, halacha Beis Hillel b'chamak, we always follow Beis Hillel, unless you have some unbelievable, compelling reason to disagree with Beis Hillel. And the Rif says, I do have a compelling reason. Sukkot of Yom Ha'alef. No, you don't. Sukkot of Yom Ha'alef is not even talking. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak wasn't even talking about whether to make a gzeirah. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak even heard of the gzeirah. He wasn't even learning that sugya. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak and Rabbi Abba were pilfering about the size of the sukkah. Just because we follow Bishamai vis-a-vis the size of the sukkah, therefore we follow Bishamai l'gavi the gzeirah, that makes no sense. Just because we follow Bishamai 7 by 7, therefore we light Chanukah candles like Bishamai, everything is the shittasim. Bishamai still does own. Everything is the same machlekes. It's not Rishkai, it was not. So how in the world did the Rif know that because we follow Bishamai in the size of the sukkah, therefore we follow it vis-a-vis the gzeir as well? Just because they're both sukkah, and they're both Bishamai, and they're both tables? No, what did the Rif say? What was the magic words the Rif said? What did the Rif say? It's the same shayla, it's the same sugya. What do you see from the Rif, clear as day? What's the answer to the magic? Why you need that 7th tefach? If you don't have it, so what will you have by definition? Where's the guy's table going to be if he doesn't have a room for it? It's going to be outside, which is going to be a problem. So what the Rif just said in one fell swoop is that magic seventh tefach of Beis Shammai is needed. What do you need that magic seventh tefach for? It doesn't sound like he says Beferish, it's the Rabbanan. He says the reason why you need that seventh tefach is midirabanan because of l'shitaseinu gezer shemim shachach shachanai, and therefore Beis Hillel, who didn't buy into that gezera, never required the seventh tefach. What the Rif just said is the real machleik is b'sham Beis Hillel. The engine that's driving the Gimel and Aleph, whether you need a seventh tefach for the sukkah or not, really doesn't belong in our sugya. It's really a sugya 20 blot later. Should you make the gezera or not make the gezera? So the Tamid Beis Shammai felt it was an appropriate gezerah. Therefore, the corollary is you must have a sukkah 7x7, or else you're always going to be in violation of the gezerah. Whereas Beis Hillel, who never weren't even gerish the gezerah, they said we don't accept the gezerah ever. So why should we insist on a seventh tefach? Sit in a 6x6, which you yourselves agree is a good bit of Torah. So it comes out according to the Rif that minat Torah there was never a machleikus b'sham Beis Hillel. Minat Torah there was a machleikus Rabbi Yehuda Nasi against b'sham Beis Hillel. That there was. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was a din deraisi, he needed diris keva. That was a different world. He was in his own league. But all the other tenor, all the other rabban, all the other tamid, everyone who subscribed to sukkah being a diris arai held that the shia deraisa is kdeshi yachzik reisha v'rubai v'loi shulchanai. That was the shia that was nimsel Moshe Rabbeinu. Not literally the magic number 6, but the shia of kdeshi yachzik reisha v'rubai, shia ruchachavim, that 6x6. And then Mesham at a later date says, oh, by the way, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone agrees they were eating at 6x6 sukkahs, according to the non-Rebbe Yehuda Nasi people. But Beis Shammai said, you know, we don't like this whole idea. We're going to make a gezerah and throw on that seventh tefach for good luck, because otherwise, gezerah shemim shachar shuchonim. That's how in those two words, the Rif said it. Chataymehu. Chataymehu. Three words. Chataymehu. Who's the Baplukta of the Rif? Who had an entirely different way of reading the sugya? Balamor. Comes to Balamor and he says, "B'chila v'yatzoif," it's not correct. What? It's the wrong Balamor in the sheet. Okay, I hope everyone did the right Balamor. Comes to Balamor in one fell swoop and says, "The entire Hanocha of the Rif is not correct. B'chila v'yatzoif." Zok to Balamor. This is not one sugya. These are two different sugyas. And between you and me, says about what they have nothing to do with each other. They are so radically different, the two sugyas, according to Balamor, they are so nothing to do with each other. So nothing to do with each other. This is a machlokes on a level of what? Deraisa. And this is a machlokes on a level of Derabanan. And just because we paskin like Beis Shammai, like the Shia Derais of the Chefetz of Sukkah, in no shape or form indicates that we accept the Gezeira of Beis Shammai. And therefore, Lahalacha says the Balamor, we split the Psa. Vis a vis the Din Derais, we would have liked to paskin Beis Hillel, but the Amorim told us not the way, so we're stuck. So we paskin need the seventh Tefach Min HaTorah. But vis a vis the Gezeira of the Rabbanan, we have no Amorim. Nobody tells us anything about that. Once you learn like this, like me says the Balamor, the two different sugyas, so you go back to the regular Klali Apsak. What's the regular Klali Apsak? Machleik Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. You read a Gemara that says Beis Shammai made exam, Beis Hillel didn't make exam. How are you going to paskin? Beis Hillel, obviously. That's exactly what the Balamor says. We don't make this exam. If you have a guy sitting in a 50 by 50 sukkah, and he's sitting at the edge, and his sukkah, and his table's out the door, so on. Paskin Beis Shammai in this one. But if you have a 6 by 6 sukkah, it's possible in a Torah. So you have chumers and kulas. Who's the machma? Who's the mekel? The Rif of Balamor. Who's ba machma? Who's ba mekel? Depends which side you're asking. The Rif is more machmir that he follows the gzeira, so he would not let you sit in a 50 by 50 sukkah when your table's outside. Balamor would be more mekel. But if the sukkah is 6 by 6, the Balamor would pass on that sukkah what? Midiraisa, and the Rif would only pass that sukkah midirabanan. So depends what you mean, whose vantage point you're going at, whether it's who's the mach, who's the maker. They're different approaches, and the machlokes, the Rif of the Balamor, all boils down to one basic nekuda. Is this one sugya, two sugyas? Is the magic number seven tefach needed midirabbanan because of the gzeira, or is it needed midiraisa? Basically, what's the next kasha you have to ask yourselves? Assuming the Baal Mos Pshat is correct, what's the next kasha you must ask yourself? Where did that seventh tefach come from? It came from a table. What do you need a table for? And half of them say, somehow you don't need a table. Once you tell me, once you're against the riff, and you're telling me that that extra magical seventh tefach is needed in the Torah, well, where have you not needed? Where did it come from? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, I understand. And Beis Hillel, I understand. But the one sheet that we passed, I don't understand. Like we always say, the two extremes are always easiest to understand in life. They're not necessarily correct, but they're easy to explain. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is an extreme view, dollar by dollar. Diras Keva, got it. Beis Hillel, Diras Aroi, 6x6 Tvachim, get your body in there, got it. Beis Shammai is thrown in a seventh Tefach Min HaTorah. For a table? A boss, you need a table for. With the rice, you need a table. Chachnema Lochs, you need a table. What do you need a table for? No, what's the answer, by saying? What are the answers? What do you need a table for? So the Ora, the magic word Taduru, comes back to haunt us again. Mistama, Beis Shammai's seventh Tefach is necessary to enable you to do Dira. So, wait a second. But didn't Beis Hillel also require a Dira? So apparently Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are having a nuanced machlokes how to define Dira, even though they both fundamentally agree to what? That you don't need a what? You don't need Dira's Keva. You need Dira's Keva, you're a Yehuda man. So they both agree that Dira's Aroi is enough, but this is the first time we've had this. Up until now, we've been learning Sukkot for 3 weeks. Up until now, we've been talking about different sheets of Tanoim. One Tan is a Dira's Aroi person, one Tan is a Dira's Keva person. So we got that 20 Amos, we got all that. We saw all that already. We've done Nasi, we saw that already. Now, we're finding nuances and shades and gradations within the Diras Aroi position that Beis Hillel was okay to label 6x6 as a Diras Aroi. You can get your body in. And Beis Shammai says, no, that's not even a Diras Aroi. It doesn't even qualify as a Diras Aroi. That's the Pasha Dvarim in the Baal Amor. That it's not even a Diras Aroi because Dira, you have to have a table. You can't even live without a table. You can't even live temporarily without a table. So the Baal Amor doesn't explain this, you know, explicitly, but it's munach in his words. It has to be that the some machlekes on the level of their eyes between the Talmid and Bisham Yisrael, just what is the bare bone minimum even for the definition of a diras aroi? It's one thing to call diras aroi. It's one thing to say I don't even have a table there. That's even less. That's one step less according to Bisham. I remember when we got married, so we lived in the Heights. So, we got married. We had mamish nothing in the apartment. When we first started, mamish nothing. But we came to the realization, you need a table. So when we lucked out, I don't know if anyone remembers, maybe he'll remember. Remember Roly, who used to own the pizza store? Remember Roly and Dasi from those days? So, the Israeli used to own Lekomo pizza in the old days. So he told me that he had a friend of his, some other guy, who was selling a table on the street. So they could sit in front of the pizza store. So we bought a cheap table. I said, how can you sit down? We were like newlywed. We could sit down and eat breakfast at a table. That was our first table. It doesn't have to be an exotic, fancy dining room table. A table. So that's what Beis Shammai says, you need a tefach. What do you need? Without a table, you can't even go into your house the day after your wedding. You can't even sit down and eat breakfast without a table. So Beis Shammai says that if it's only 6x6, it's not even called a dira b'chalal. Can we put a little bit more of a halachic, a spin on that, rather than just invoking memories of years gone by? Can we put like a little bit more of a halachic, a gedara on that? So the Baal Amor doesn't do it, but the Ran does. The Ran invokes a term that we're going to hopefully get to a little bit later on in some other sugyas. We'll get to that after Yom Tov. But the Gemara uses a phrase called dira srucha. What's the kind of remember what the context of Dira Srucha is? So the Gemara is talking about the size of the sukkah, but not the width and length, the height of the sukkah. We know that a sukkah has to be minimum of what? What's the bare minimum height of a sukkah? First mission? 10 tefach. So what's the following shot? What's the din? If you have a sukkah that's 10 tefach, it's already 10 tefach. But some of the schach is hanging down into the 10 tefach. So at what point you say, this is the beginning of the schach, this is the end of the wall, the beginning of the schach, at what point you say, I have 10 tefach? So what's the shayla? So here's my sukkah. This is exactly 10 tefachim. This is where my schach is. Exactly 10 tefachim from here to here. This is where my schach is, and my poles over here. But some of my branches are hanging down into the airspace of the 10 tefachim. So is that called, now I no longer have 10 tefachim, now I only have an 8 tefachim sukkah, and that's possible in the Torah. But do I say, no, Dal Mihacha, forget about the little piece of schach here and there. Anyone know what the din is? What's it? The Gemara has a machlokes of Bayin Rav. Bayin says, it depends how much tzchach is hanging down. If what's hanging down, a pidin is called tzchach, so then once a pidin, what's hanging down is called tzchach, then it's the furnace. You can't be tzchach in the furnace unless you're dofer akum. You can't be both. So once the tzchach is hanging down, and halachically it's called tzchach, so that's mevatel, the shame doifen, the size of the minimum shear of the doifen, and then you're stuck, you don't have a ten tzvach himself. And how much, what's the thickness of the schach to hang down to be chalot in the shame schach? What does the Bayi say? Very simple. How much? How much schach is called schach? A little branch here, a little twig here, a little grass here. How much is called the shame schach? Tzilsim rumi chamsa. No, Rashi dabeis. Schach Hashem tzel mikra. So this tzilsim rumi chamsa, if the amount that's hanging down is thick, it's a thick amount, not just a little twig hanging down. It's used chunks of branches and grass that are hanging down. So what's hanging down is our pidin called tzilsim rumi chamsa. Once it's tzilsim rumi chamsa, so now this becomes this part of the schach. If this is part of the schach, from here to here, all I have is 8 tefach. And my sukkah is psulim in the Torah. But what if I don't have so much hanging down? I don't have these thick there. I have a branch here, a little twig here, a little piece of grass over here hanging down. So the Bayi says, da'al mehocha. It doesn't exist anyway. It's just off here. It doesn't really count for anything anyway. So you're okay. If I was writing Gemara, I would have passed Nikabai. You know what Rava says? Who knows what Rava says? Rava says, no. It's no good. You know why? So Rava says, take a look on. Take a look at the Dalet Amud Aleph. It's about 10 lines or so from the top. First of the line is Machmosam. First one is Machmosam. The end of the line. Haisa gevoa yutvachim. For hutzin yardim lesoch yut. I'm going to branch the hanging down. Rabbi Lemeimar. Im chamsam rumit silsam ksheira. If the amount that's falling, hanging down is less than a real tzel, it's chamsam rumit silsam. Let me just ignore it. Amalei rev adira surucha hi. Bein adam dar bedira surucha. What does that mean? Rabbi said to Abaye, you're right. There's no schach hanging down. Pidin, what's hanging down, is kamandaleisa. Pidin, it's not so much. It's a branch here, it's a little twig here, it's a little piece of grass over here, a little mashu here. It's not really called schach. But tachlis, when the guy walks into the sukkah, what's going to happen? He's going to walk into the sukkah, and what's going to happen to him? He's going to poke his eyes out on the piece of grass. He's going to bang his head. He's going to cut himself on the schach that's hanging down. It's a chadirus hakadirim nobis, dirus hakadirim nobis, such a thing. So what did Rava just tell us in those magic words, Diris Ruchi? What did Rava just tell us? Let's put it into our lingo. Put it into our lingo for us. What Rava basically told us is, in terms of Hilcha Shir of the sukkah is Ksheira. Because Tachos, how big are the Defanos? Measure up, when you take out your Chazanish tape measure and you're measuring out the Defanos, you're really going from the ground to the beginning of the Schach. What's the beginning of the schach? Until it's still some chamsa nishkin schach. Tapidin, it's not called schach. So in terms of the shear of the sukkah, you have 10 tefachim. But just because you have shear of a chefetz of a sukkah, you still have to be able to do a wad in that sukkah. You have to have a deer in that sukkah. You can have a shear from today till tomorrow, but if you can't do a maisa deer in that sukkah is no good. And that's what Rava coined the phrase, deer is serucha. You can't live in it. No normal person would walk into a sukkah, would walk into a house, walk into a makam dira that has things poking his eyes out within 10 tefachim. It's not normal, that's dira serucha. And therefore, even though in terms of the pure hilcha shir you're okay, we have to pass that sukkah anyway. So that's the Gemara, Daf Dalam and Aleph. Kum to Ran and borrowed that principle of Diras Shrucha and plugged it into other dimensions. The Gemara is talking about the dimensions up and down. The Ran took it sideways, width and length as well. Zok to Ran, if you have a sukkah that's 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim, you have the Shiva of sukkah. Well, why is he have a Shiva? It's a Mappam Dira. You have a Shiva of sukkah. The only problem is, it's going to be crazy to live in such a place. No normal, sane person would live in such a small house. The same way the guy wouldn't walk into a sukkah which has things that poking his eyes out, a 9 tvachim mark, a guy wouldn't live in a place where he can't put his table down. So Zok to Ran, he borrowed the phrase from Dalam Alef called Dira Shrucha. And he said, that's what Beis Shammai was worried about. That was the concern of Beis Shammai. That to have a sukkah without that seventh tefach is the chisaron of a diras ruch. It's not really chisaron of the shir, the etzem of sukkah. Because the etzem of sukkah, the etzem of shir is set on some up and bra, but it's not a complete up and bira. Because of the chisaron of diras ruch. And therefore we have to pass that sukkah on what level? Just as Rav apostled the sukkah midaraisa because of diras ruch, says the Ran, we can borrow that principle and pass the sukkah midaraisa if it's less than seven tefachim according to Beis Shammai. Now that model, that marshal that the Ran brought, he used as a precedent. He stole that ballad and plugged it into that gimel. This is assuming that what it says in that ballad is correct. It's correct. Of course, Rava Sover Ballad Mamer, Rava rejected a bay. Isn't it correct? Isn't it obvious? The Ran's of a push. The Ran just extrapolated from height to width and length. That's all the Ran just did. But Lechari, he took the principle of Dalam and Aleph, which was said in Hukkah's height. And he plugged it into width and length. So what's the shaila? So I don't want to ruin it for a sugya, 3-4 sugyas down the line. We get the diras rucha, but the Rambam has a very remarkable, very unique shita about diras rucha. What the Rambam says about diras rucha? Have any idea what the Rambam says about that sugya about the little piece of grass falling into the sukkah? Don't tell anyone, says the Rambam. The sukkah is not psula. Not psula in the Torah. It's just a bad idea to live in that sukkah. L'chadchil, you shouldn't go into such a sukkah because it'd be uncomfortable. And once you walk in and poke your eyes out, you're going to leave. So that's not a good way to build your sukkah. When Rava said, Diras Rucha never meant to say that's puzzle. Who says puzzle? Diras Rucha means that, how can you build a sukkah? Meshuggah is going to build a sukkah like that. If you build a sukkah like that, you're going to end up in your house in 20 minutes from now. So therefore, don't build a sukkah like that. Is it puzzle in a Torah? What's not puzzle in a Torah? What kind of psul is Diras Rucha, says the Rambam? If it has a shear of 10 tefach, it's a shear of 10 tefach. Abayi Lom, this is right. The schach begins with a tzilsa and chamsa. If it's chamsa and mitzilsa, it's nishkin schach. Nishkin schach, this is the funnest. So I don't want to, you know, spend too much time in this Rambam now because we have a lot of work cut out for this Rambam later on. But just remember, when we get to Dav Dalet and you see Diras Rucha, remember that the Ran stole it and brought it to Dav Gimel. But you can only bring it to Dav Gimel if you think it exists in Dav Dalet. If you don't really think it exists enough, you hold it to Rambam and Abdallah, then you're not going to apply it in the Gimel. So just remember this when you get to Abdallah. But that was just an aside show. But getting back to our regular story, it comes out, at least we have a beer. We have a Balamor, we have a Ran defending the Balamor. We have a beer as to where the seventh tefach came from on a level of Deraisa. So what do we have, Rabbi Isai, in front of us? We have almost like four different possibilities as to what our take on sides of Sukkah is supposed to be. So Rabbi Yehuda says the easiest shita, followed by Dalai Lama and Diras Kevashon, easiest but not acceptable halacha. Everybody else wanted to some degree Diras Arai. So the Rif's understanding of Diras Arai is that everybody agrees on a level of Deraisa at 6x6. The requirement of throwing in that seventh tefach at worst is only, at most is only midirabbanan. And that was the machlokes b'sham b'zilah. Should we make the gzeirah derabbanan? Which led the Rif to a chumrah because he was so makel to call the seventh tefach derabbanan. He ended up being stuck with it. And being stuck with the Gezerah, the Rabbanan. And the Balmor says, no. Balmor says that seventh tefach is really, really required in HaTorah, and therefore the two machlokes have nothing to do with each other. We taka don't paste the sham in the Gezerah, but that seventh tefach, to be Balmor, is the biggest machmor in the world. And what's the source for that seventh tefach? Where did it come from? So, some kind of din deraisa. The Ran coined the phrase Diras Rucha, borrowed the phrase Diras Rucha Dabdalan, to define the essence of what that seventh tefach is, and apparently Beis Hillel didn't buy into that. Not necessarily that Beis Hillel denied the whole principle of Diras Rucha. Beis Hillel is not necessarily going against the rubber and the dalet, or vice versa, but maybe there are nuances as to what is a Diras Rucha, what's not. But no matter what, according to the Balmor and the Ran, there's machlokes on the level of the Araisa about the existence of the seventh tefach. So we have the background, we have Rabbi Danossi Shita one extreme, we have the Rif's understanding of the Machlokes B'Sham Yisrael, we have the Balam and the Ram's understanding of the Machlokes B'Sham Yisrael. So we have the basic sheet of the basic Tzura of the Sugya. Nevertheless, there's a Sugya that comes mamish, literally from left field. That's the Sugya a little bit later on. We saw the Sugya, see the Sugya ready in the past, and hopefully we'll begin with that tomorrow. Everything we said is about to be challenged by a Gemara later on, where the Gemara starts to list off Tanoim, who are all into that famous Shita that we don't accept. What was the famous Shita? Dearest Keva. And the Gemara makes the long, long list. I'm Rabbaye, this Tana, and that Tana, and this Tana, and that Tana. And this is 7, 8 different Shitas who bought into Dearest Keva. And there's one Shita that's on the list that, based on everything we've talked about for the last hour, doesn't belong. Who is that one person? Bishamai. On the long list of Abayas, I'm Rabbi Bishamai, Sira like Dearest Keva. Bishamai, Dearest Keva? No. Bishamai, Dearest Arai. Rabbi Yudah Nasi was the Dearest Keva person. How in the world did Bishamai make Abayas list? They seem to be the antithesis of Abayas list. And we're going to take that with the utmost seriousness, not only because we take Bishamai seriously, but we take him very, very seriously here, because we pass in Halacha. We have to scratch our heads 100 times tomorrow and try to figure out how does everything. We just read Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. I just read Gimel Amud Aleph through the eyes of the Rif to you, through the eyes of the Balam, through the Ran. I didn't say anything today. Actually. Today was just Mamu who read the Gemara. We didn't even read the Gemara. We just said the Gemara about that. We just elaborated, put a couple odds and ends on. How does anything that I said make any sense in light of Abayi's listing in Beishamai on the wrong, on the Tana, on the Tanaim that we don't pass in life? So hopefully, tomorrow we'll try to pick up that. Good. Okay.